WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin, and we plan on making your hump day afternoon a bit brighter with a great hour of sports talk. On today's Current Sports, we will recap what took place around 3 p.m. yesterday at Mounice Arena here on the campus of Michigan State University as the Michigan State hockey program introduced its new head coach. That's right, Dan Cole spoke to the media for the first time. A star-studded press conference. I'll recap that. You'll get to hear from Danton in just a moment. We will talk about the Detroit Tigers and Minnesota Twins. The Tigers getting game one of that series yesterday. The Tigers and Twins set for game two. Michael Fulmer on the mound. That game will take place in about 9 minutes. We'll keep you updated throughout this hour. Also, a big name in the world of local high school boys basketball has decided to step away from the program to focus more on Familia. That's right, Matt Essel, Holt High School boys basketball coach. He has decided to leave the program after being with the program in some way, shape, or form 22 seasons. Pretty remarkable, right? Matt will join me from Holt High School around 1:30 p.m. You don't want to miss that. We will also discuss the My Teen Cleaves case and also interesting comments made by the president of Maryland in regards to the academic fraud scandal at the University of North Carolina. As you see, a jam-packed show. If you want to be a part of the fun, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports, where we are currently live streaming the show, and also even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR, at WKAR_sports. Let's get right to it. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. After a 21-day coaching search, Michigan State University Athletics Director Mark Hollis announced yesterday the new man of Michigan State hockey, Danton Cole. He is a former Spartan legend, scoring 69 goals and 94 assists in 180 career games, which is tied for most games played in school history. He helped the Green and White to the top of the collegiate hockey world with a resume of a national championship in 1986, three Frozen Fours, two CCHA regular season championships, and two CCHA tourney championships. Cole also played 11 years in the NHL and is one of 11 Spartan hockey players to hoist Lord Stanley. How about that, right? I got a cool story concerning that Stanley Cup win for Danton Cole in just a moment. You do not want to miss this story, I promise you, all right? Now, since the end of his playing career, Cole has coached at numerous places, including the Grand Rapids Griffins and Muskegon Griffins, Bowling Green State and Alabama Huntsville. While coaching Muskegon, the Griffins would win a UHL championship. And most recently, Cole comes from USA Hockey, affiliated with USA Hockey the past 7 years. All right, moving along, we'll have more on Danton Cole in just a moment, but moving along, records obtained by the Lansing State Journal show that Michigan State University's cost for outside legal assistance in the Dr. Larry Nassar trial reached $330,000 by the end of February. The amount of money is likely to be significantly higher because it excludes the months of April and March, of course. MSU spokesman Jason Cody said these bills come from several different agencies. The highest bill is $203,000 coming from a Chicago-based law firm. That firm is charging Michigan State University $990 per hour for their assistance. Can I get a pay raise? That's crazy. They also included a $13,350 fee for computer legal research. Other companies involved include Detroit-based Miller, Canfield, Paddock, and Stone, which charge between $310 and $455 per hour, and East Lansing-based Hackney Grover, which handles Michigan State University medical malpractice issues. The university also contracted the Blue Moon Consulting Group in San Francisco for crisis management and communication support for NASA-related issues. That bill is $20,650 for 59 hours of completed work. Cody said the university's insurance will cover a portion of Blue Moon's bill.
It's mostly clear skies overhead, and for those who may be wondering, I mean, there's no sensation that we are on a ship right now. It's as if we are on land here aboard the USS Carl Vinson, this big, sturdy ship.
Yes, you guys remember that moment, right? The supercarrier. That was once the site of a college basketball game between Michigan State and North Carolina, is on its way to Korea. The United States and South Korea are conducting their biggest military exercise in that area. Tensions remain high on the Korean Peninsula as North Korea has conducted four missile launches this year alone. U.S. officials have speculated the timing of a nuclear test or additional missile tests could be tied to the upcoming April 15th birthday of Kim Il-sung, North Korea's founder. Now, if Korea conducts another missile test, the strike's group location in the Sea of Japan means it could be in the missile's flight path. See, we cover it all here on Current Sports, even a missile crisis possibly overseas. But yeah, you guys remember that fluffy moment, right? When Michigan State played on the carrier, and now that carrier is headed to Korea. Crazy, right? All right, moving along.
Barrett, option look. Samuel hit in the backfield and dropped for a loss. That was Jordan Lewis, the All-American corner, making a play.
Former Michigan corner Jordan Lewis is scheduled to have a jury trial in his domestic violence case, scheduled for July 10th. Lewis appeared for a pretrial hearing this morning in Ann Arbor's 15th District Court. Lewis is charged with one misdemeanor count of domestic violence coming from an alleged incident with his then girlfriend at their apartment on March 15th. Now, she was not in court and there has been no contact between the two since the alleged incident. The trial timeline means Lewis's legal issues likely will extend well past the April 27th to 29th NFL draft, in which he is expected to be picked in the top three rounds. We'll keep you updated as that story unfolds in the coming weeks. And a sad story coming from Evanston, Illinois. A 19-year-old Northwestern rower by the name of Mohammed Ramzan was found dead late Monday night after falling out of his boat during practice that morning. At 7:40 a.m., their coach was trailing the team in a motorized boat and jumped in to save Ramzan. However, the water was too murky and Ramzan was lost. With visibility no more than 3 feet, divers searched all day to find the missing body. Rowers do not wear life jackets because it does impede their ability to row. The swimming ability of Ramzan was unknown. His autopsy found that he drowned and his death was ruled an accident. Such a sad story, especially for a school and athletic program at Northwestern that, if you remember earlier this year, lost Jordan Hankins, Northwestern women's basketball player, due to an apparent suicide. Thoughts and prayers to the Northwestern athletic community. All right, yesterday the Lansing Lugnuts and Bowling Green Hot Rods were unable to play because of the weather. Their matchup today has now become a doubleheader. Game one currently underway with the Luggies leading 4-0 in the top of the seventh. And the Detroit Tigers started a three-game series with a 2-1 win against the Minnesota Twins yesterday. Matt Boyd pitched six innings of one-hit baseball to lead the defense, and catcher James McCann lifted a fifth-inning two-run homer to lead the Tigers 0.
There's a drive in the air to left field. That ball is up.
K-Rod made the game interesting in the top of the ninth, allowing three hits and one run. However, he was able to pick up his third save on the year. The Tigers now sit at an overall record of 5-2. The team also announced today the signing of first baseman James Loney. Or I should say Looney. Is that how you say it? Is it Looney, Isaac?
I think it's Loney,
if I'm
not mistaken. Used to play for the Dodgers. I remember him well as a product and prospect right next to Matt Kemp, actually.
Loney, then. Okay. James Loney to a minor league deal. Loney is an 11-year vet who was cut by the Texas Rangers last month. In 2016, he played 100 games for the New York Mets, batting .265 with nine homers. The final game, thank goodness, for the Detroit Pistons and the Orlando Magic is tonight at 8 p.m. in Orlando. The game has no playoff implications because both teams have been eliminated from playoff contention. I will not be watching that tonight. However, a win or loss could have a slight effect on each team's NBA draft pick. Both teams are considered to have underperformed, to say the least, this season. And last, but certainly, thank goodness, least, Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks honored Tony Romo on Tuesday night by allowing him, I should say, to suit up for their final game of the season against the Denver Nuggets. Now, Cuban planned on allowing Romo to suit up and actually get in the game and went as far as to talk to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver about his plan and said, quote, "Find me if you don't like it," end quote. Cuban faced the problem that if Romo was to play, then he would need to sign a contract. But any contract he signed would not be honored by the league. So that's what made things a bit sloppy here. The team would have faced a lot of backlash for playing Romo. Many were already upset with the team for letting him suit up during their game against Denver. And at the end of the day, the idea was shut down, but it still ended up being a cool moment for the Mavericks 2016-17 year. Actually, Dirk Nowitzki came out and announced Tony Romo, and Tony spoke briefly to the Dallas crowd yesterday. It was cool, I must admit. It was cool. That's just Mark Cuban being Mark Cuban, the publicity stunt that he is. Gotta love that. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of our show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show. So much to get to. Time's a wasting. Here we go.
Starts with, maintaining and building on the culture. Secondly, we'll identify, recruit, and sign elite players to come here. And third, we've got to engage the community. And fourth, and last but not least, keep Munn world class and keep building forward. It is really, really important, and that's on the vision of what we need to get done.
I want to commend Mark Hollis. I know for some of you, it always takes us a little bit longer than you might think in order to make these kinds of decisions. I know he listened very carefully to the team.
I started this process by standing with the team, our student athletes. I asked them what it was that they sought in a head coach. These are some words that they responded with. Player's coach, approachable. NHL experience, the ability to develop players. A communicator, solid schemes. Detail-oriented, knows what's going on in our personal lives. It took us 21 days, but honestly, it could have just taken one.
You never lose. You either win or you learn a lesson, and then you move on from there, and you pick yourself up, you pick your teammates up. The game can be exciting if it's played the right way.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy hump day. It is Wednesday, April 12th, 2017, and what you just heard was a few snippets from yesterday afternoon's press conference at Mount Ice Arena here on the campus of Michigan State University, as Danton Cole is now the new head coach of the Michigan State hockey program. We have been talking about this news throughout the week, news that was first reported by SpartanNation.com. Not officially confirmed by the university until yesterday, when all of the local media members here received an email that there would be an official press conference at 3 p.m. on Tuesday. Very cool stuff as I walked over to Mount Ice Arena after we hit the airwaves here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM, along with my intern, David Greenberg. And we entered Mount Ice Arena, and there were just a lot of people there. A lot of people. And the press conference was held on the second floor of Mount Ice Arena in the Huntington Club room. And I walk in, and you see media everywhere. The word that came to mind as soon as I entered that room was hope. There were so many smiling faces. I saw Sue Carter, who has been helping us out here at WKAR with the current state team. She was in attendance. I saw, as you just heard, Athletic Director Mark Hollis, who spoke. The president of Michigan State University, Luana K. Simon, was there. And heck, a few minutes after Danton Cole took questions from the media, I turned to my right, and look who was standing there. Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Wow. A lot of hope in that room. And I believe this is a solid, solid hire. But before I elaborate on the hiring of Danton Cole, Isaac, you just saw this news come through. I want to pass this news along because it is very shocking. And I didn't even know that he was sick, but do you want to pass along that news?
Yeah, so I just read that at the age of 57, Charlie Murphy, the famous comedian and famous star of The Chappelle Show, certain segments, actually died at the age, again, of 57 after a battle of leukemia. So another big name lost, and certainly one that I grew up watching and always enjoyed his comedy, but I didn't know he was sick either, so it was rough to read, especially in the middle of the show on Wednesday.
Yeah, again, if you haven't heard, as Isaac just noted, Charlie Murphy, the brother of my favorite comedian of all time, Eddie Murphy. And Charlie, of course, became a huge star, as you noted, Isaac, on Chappelle's show, Dave Chappelle's show that used to air on Comedy Central. Charlie Murphy, dead at the age of 57 after battling and losing a battle with leukemia. That's shocking news. I had to compose myself. When you said that, I'm like, no, that's got to be wrong. But in going back now, thinking about it, I mean, we haven't seen Charlie in the public eye for a while. So I think we know why now. So again, Charlie Murphy, sadly, again, dead. Famous comedian Charlie Murphy, brother to Eddie Murphy, dead at 57 after a battle with leukemia. All right, pushing along, I want to talk about this Danton Cole press conference because I find this story intriguing on a lot of levels because it marks the end of a chapter, a sad chapter, a dark chapter in Michigan State hockey, and now the beginning of a new one, a chapter that with Danton Cole is filled with a ton of promise. You know, it was remarkable walking into that press conference. First off, I was shocked at how many media members were there to cover it. First off, I mean, actually, it was the press conference was nationally live streamed due to the Big Ten Network being there. I mean, this was huge. And a few things that stood out about this hire for me. Number one is, you know, when I heard Danton Cole speak, you can tell this dude is very intense. This guy is a hockey coach through and through. You know, there were a few notable quotes from that press conference where, you know, I walked away saying, okay, this dude is one who knows where he wants this program to be, and he wants this program to be, as one of the staples, a tough, tough team. I loved it. You know, and what you just heard was his four-step plan to making MSU hockey what it used to be. It's got a rich tradition. I mean, we talk about Ron Mason a lot when we mention Michigan State hockey because those were the glory years, right? When Ron Mason was in charge of this program, when Ron Mason was the head coach of this program, that is when Michigan State hockey was at its height. It was a time when, you know, you look at the entire landscape and specifically the two biggest sports in collegiate athletics today, in college football and college basketball. It was during a time when Ron Mason really had his immense success with the program. Michigan State basketball and football was on the struggle bus. Couldn't win games. Rare to see MSU football in a bowl game at the time. Recruiting wasn't very high. And Tom Izzo hadn't yet taken over the Michigan State men's basketball program. And Cole, you know, made it known that, you know, when he took that podium yesterday, that he wants to get this program back to that standpoint. And he went on to say that he wants this team to be tough. Tough. And he wants the atmosphere at Mount Ice Arena to get back to a point where back in the day you had, it was a hot ticket. It was a hot ticket to go see Michigan State hockey. The hottest ticket in the area, in fact, at one point, if you can imagine that. He wants Munn to rock again. And the only way you're going to do that is one, by winning, of course, and also getting in the community and letting your program, letting the players be the face of the program and get their faces out there, promotional-wise. But I always say, if you build it, they will come. If Michigan State hockey wins, the fans are going to come. And you look at the makeup of this team, I found probably what is the most intriguing attribute to this hire is the fact that Danton Cole spent the last 7 years in USA Hockey's National Team Development Program coaching its under 17 and under 18 teams. He developed some of the best young prospects in the country on the ice. And just imagine the kind of connects that Danton Cole now has that he can hit up from USA Hockey and say, who is the next up-and-coming star? And it's so amazing because if you evaluate the landscape of hockey here in America, especially collegiate hockey, right? I mean, kids are committing so early. It amazes me. It boggles my mind when I think about that. Kids commit at around 13, 14 years old as to what college they want to go to. And the problem with Tom Anastasia is not, you know, I thought that Tom did a solid job, an okay job, solid to okay job. I don't even know if that makes any sense. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, Tom did a solid job of getting recruits who were really young. The problem was, and it's the thing, this is what I hate about recruiting sometimes. If you decide to recruit a player who is that young, who's 13, 14 years old, that kid is still growing. His game is still growing. It is so hard to assume that this kid is going to be a superstar as he continues to develop on the ice. They're so young. They're still developing as athletes. They're still developing as young men. there is so much development that is still taking place at that young age. Sure, you may be good at 14, but will that continue to happen throughout the years? And the thing is, I mean, Tom would get some of those young recruits. The problem is, I mean, they would come to Michigan State and just not pan out. They just wouldn't pan out. And that's tough. But now you have a man in Danton Cole who knows the recruiting system so well because he got a chance to coach young talent, again, for 7 years with the USA Hockey National Development Program, coaching the under 17 and under 18 teams. He knows the recruiting landscape so well, and Danton Cole did not bite his tongue when it comes to putting it out there that he wants to compete against some of collegiate hockey's elite in the recruiting war. He talked Tuesday about teams like Boston University, Boston College, North Dakota, Notre Dame. He wants to go head up with those teams, saying, quote, "These are the teams we are battling for," end quote, for talent, Isaac. I love that. And again, take it with a grain of salt, though, because this is a guy who's coming into a program. He knows where this program has been since 2011 when Tom Onassis was hired. He has to come out and give the fan base hope. He has to come out and say the right things in the introductory press conference. Sure, you take that with a grain of salt. But looking at Danton Cole, when he's making these comments, I mean, this is a guy who went up there not with, you know, and I kind of chuckled to myself because I saw Mark Hollis go up there and he had a whole speech written out. And you can kind of hear he sounded a bit robotic, you know, when during that introductory snippet intermixed with MJ, right? And Danton Cole goes up there, and I could tell that Danton went up there and he was speaking from the heart, but he also had bullet points that he wanted to hit on, especially when he went through his four-step plan. This is a guy that you could just feel whatever when he was talking, it was genuine and it was coming from the heart. And he truly believes that Michigan State can get back to what it once was during the glory years. It isn't going to happen off bat. Let's keep it real here as well. It isn't going to happen right off the rip. You're not going to see Michigan State. It is unfair to expect Danton Cole to lead this team to a Frozen Four in his first season. The goal right now should be to get back to the NCAA tournament. Let Danton do what he does on the recruiting trail, and you'll start to see that talent that Cole recruits matriculate into some special things later on down the road. So you have to be careful how you talk about those expectations. However, I do believe Danton Cole is the right man for the job. He was in the running back in 2011. He called Michigan State, and he was not shy about saying this. He called Michigan State countless times his, quote, dream job. Well, Danton, you got it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with it.
Well, and I thought the best summation of this hire was pretty much that in 2011, it made more sense possibly in a lot of people's eyes to give it to Onassis. He was a big name out there, also MSU alum, and coming off a prestigious gig, all of that stuff, and worth giving him a go.
Well, I think the general consensus back then, Isaac, I feel like a lot of people thought that was an odd hire, though.
It was.
I don't think a lot of people, I mean, George, you know,
because Wazdecki, no previous coaching experience, of course,
right,
for Onassis. Yeah. I mean,
Spartan hockey fans agreed with that hire.
But when a lot of people came up to it, I mean, there was excitement, especially after the first year Onassis went to the tournament and people began to say, okay, what could happen? Obviously, the program's fallen off a little bit since then. Thing with Danton Cole is maybe he wasn't the man for the job back in 2011. The best comment I've heard, though, and something I agree with entirely, is after working with USA Hockey, helping develop young talent, helping prime that next generation for success, this is a man all the more equipped to handle the responsibilities of this position because now he's got the pipeline. Onassis, like you said, he did one part of the job. He always got the top recruits, but he couldn't necessarily develop them, mold them into the future players that would make MSU a pipeline program in the state of Michigan. Danton Cole now has the connects that he didn't have before. And that's what Onassis had coming in. He had the connections. Danton Cole now has the connections to match him. And then Danton Cole also has the direct coaching experience. That's why I like this hire a lot more than I did, say, if it was in 2011, just because I feel like not only has this program reached a point where it is – perfect for Danton Cole to take it over. But back in 2011, like I said, I thought that Anastas, yeah, maybe a little bit off the book, but you knew he was going to get the talent coming into the program, and he was a big name. Now you've got Danton Cole, though, with a lot more prestige than he had back in 2011, too. Mm-hmm. This is a better hire than it would have been in 2011 just because of that USA coaching experience. And again, bringing back an MSU alum, bringing back somebody who's going to reinvigorate the fan base. All of that is so important, and Danton Cole's four-step plan for me could not have been a better step-by-step program to get MSU back to the top of hockey. Like you said, though, not going to be a short experience. It's not going to be something that's going to be 1 year, 2 year. This guy needs a little bit of a leash, but let the architect build what he will, and let's see what comes of it.
Danton Cole, he's got some great local ties. Born and raised here in Michigan. Grew up in mid-Michigan, went to Waverly High School, helped Michigan State Hockey win a national championship back in the late 80s, 1986, went on to win a Stanley Cup in 1995, and if you guys remember during that time, well, a stat to remember, I should say, he's one of 11 Spartans in program history to ever win a Stanley Cup. And a very cool story. I want to tell this story before we hit our first break and bring on Matt Essel to the show. I was leaving Munice Arena after the press conference with my intern, David Greenberg, and we ran into Dave Ellis. Those locally who have a close ear to the sporting scene here in mid-Michigan know who Dave Ellis is. Dave, former sports reporter and anchor at WLNS-TV6, went on to Michigan State and was in charge of the I guess you could say, the highlight videos that are shot when it comes to various athletics when it comes to Michigan State. So the highlights that you see posted on MichiganStateSpartans.com, there's someone in charge of all of that, and it used to be Dave Ellis, and he's now doing some play-by-play work in the area and beyond. Great guy. Ran into Dave because I was wondering why, you know, I ran into Dave. I'm like, Dave, what are you doing here, man? Haven't seen you in a while. And he's like, Al, I want to come and just check out the presser for myself as a fan. And Dave told me that he actually went to college with Danton Cole. So they're pretty close. They know each other very well. And he was telling me a story back in the mid-90s when Danton helped win that Stanley Cup in the mid-90s. Danton brought the Stanley Cup to East Lansing. And I didn't know Rick's, the famous Rick's Bar, downtown East Lansing, that a lot of students flock to nowadays. I didn't know that Rick's has been around that long. Danton actually decided to take the Stanley Cup two Ricks for the students and fans to enjoy one night. Get this. That same weekend, a band by the name of Hootie and the Blowfish had a concert on Michigan State's campus. After the concert, Hootie and the Blowfish decide to go to Ricks and party with the students. So, in the basement of that hole-in-the-wall Ricks bar, you had Hootie and the Blowfish and the Stanley Cup there, but wait, it gets better. That same weekend, that same day, that same night, a man by the name of Tiger Woods was in town playing a round of golf. I don't know if it was an amateur at the time. It was when Tiger was really, really young. Nobody even knew that Tiger Woods was going to blow up to be Tiger Woods. Tiger happened to be in the mid-Michigan area playing a round of golf. Tiger, I don't know how, Dave said he was around 17 years old. Tiger decided to go to the bar that night at Rick's as well. So in the basement of Rick's on one night, you had the Stanley Cup there. You had Hootie and the Blowfish there. And you had one of the greatest golfers of all time here in East Lansing, just off the campus of Michigan State University, partying it up at Rick's, the basement bar by the name of Rick's. There is, according to Dave Ellis, a picture of all three of those individuals. It's more members, more than one member to Hootie and the Blowfish, but they all took a picture apparently. And Rick's has a picture of that night. I got to check it out, Isaac. I heard that story and I said, this can't be true. Unbelievable, though.
Well, if you believe in second comings, then that's got me excited, too. Because right now, MSU's in the time of bringing Kesha and Lil Uzi Vert to campus instead of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Are they?
I know. Exactly.
What?
So hopefully we can revive some of that time when Tiger Woods or the next Tiger Woods is coming back to campus.
Times have
and
changed,
also
man.
Hootie and the Blowfish. Great name.
Yeah. Times have changed. I remember when I was on campus, I got to see Lupe Fiasco in concert. I got to see Wale in concert. I got to see Drake in concert. Lil Wayne in concert. Unbelievable.
So
now,
jealous.
Now Michigan State gets Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah.
Come on, man. What is that? It's not even a name. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite to the show Matt Essel, now former head coach of the Holt High School boys basketball team. Matt has announced this week that he will be stepping away from the program after 22 seasons. We will chat with Matt live from Holt High School in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we just wrapped up segment A, chatting about Danton Cole, the new head coach of the Michigan State hockey program. And I got off the I got out of that first segment by chatting about the famous story of Hootie and the Blowfish. Which, by the way, that is a great name. Now that I think about it, that's a really cool name. If you could, I'm putting you on the spot right now. If you could make your own rock band, and you were the lead singer, right? What would the name of the band be?
We're going story time here? Because this is actually
no,
a
okay.
throwback.
We're short on time.
No,
this is real
not,
quick.
Not story time.
Okay.
But I had a band in fifth grade. Essentially, it was an excuse for us to get together, play Madden, and then leave. But, okay. You know, under the pretense of actually being in a band, it was the Silver Comet was the name. Silver
okay.
Comet.
So, all right. We'll actually explain that one later. Mine would probably be something sweet, like Al Martin and the Martinis.
Oh. I'm going to stick with Silver Comet. Good recommendation.
Martin and the Martinis. I've thought about this quite a while, actually. I like that name. But Hootie and the Blowfish. That is a really cool name. Hootie and the Blowfish, the Stanley Cup, and Tiger Woods all being in the basement of Rick's in the mid-90s. Again, that's a story that was told to me by former WLNS-TV6 sports reporter and anchor Dave Ellis. And Jason Ruff, our hockey expert here on Current Sports, he's listening to the show right now, and he says, Al, that story is true. I have it on good authority. So I guess it is true. I want to see the picture just to prove it. I want to see the picture in the basement of Rick's. So very cool stuff. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Matt Essel, hired in 2006 as the head coach of the Holt High School boys basketball team. He has been a part of that program for 22 seasons. He made the announcement this week that he will be stepping away from the program to focus more on life at home. He led Holt to a regional semifinal game this past season, had a career record of 165-88, quite impressive, and led the Rams to six district championships and three CAAC blue titles. Right now we have on line one, Matt Essel. Welcome to Current Sports. Matt, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, good, Al. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Always good hearing your voice, and I want to dive straight into it. How long has this decision to walk away from the program been on your mind?
You know, probably since we had our third child 3 years ago. My daughter Hadley's three, so probably the clock started ticking probably at that point when life just started to get a little bit too crazy.
So, Matt, why was now the right time to make the decision to walk away? And you know, after the season ended for you guys this year, it had to be pretty tough to think about that.
It's always hard because you get attached to every group of kids. I suppose my attachment might have been a bit stronger with this group because I had coached Jaren Falls for 4 years. I'd also had him as a student in eighth grade. So I had a relationship with him for, 5 years and even into camps as a little kid. But So I really wanted to kind of coach him all the way through for sure. And, you know, and then this year was just so amazing and the kids were just so great. And like always, you fall in love with the next class too. And I love these juniors. It's a really talented group that I really think is going to challenge for the league next year. And so, you know, the competitor in you wants to try to stick around for another year because, you know, you think you can do something with that group. But by the same token, you know, it really was time to step away. So I feel really good about where the program's at, and whoever's going to pick it up will just be able to kind of pick it up and keep running with it.
Matt, can you paint the picture and take us to the moment when you told the team the news? When, where, and what did you tell them?
Well, the season ended and I was, you know, 99% sure, but I didn't want to make an announcement, you know, right after a, you know, disappointing loss to Kalamazoo Central. I didn't want to make it before the banquet. I kind of felt like I wanted to get through the banquet and then also make sure I give myself a little bit of time afterwards to think it through completely. But then I also knew I didn't want it to linger because I think it's really important that the new coach gets to, you know, we play like 30 games in the summer, you know, with summer league and camps and things like that. So that's a really important time for a coach to get to know his team. So I definitely didn't want it to stretch out. And I wanted to give our athletic director, who's amazing, a lot of time to make the decision. And so I talked to her right before spring break, almost heading out the door to spring break. And I had kind of told her early on in the season that, you know, I didn't know how much longer I'd be able to keep going. And then I contacted my guy Sunday and told him I wanted to meet Monday after school. And so the guys all came in and I just kind of talked them through the whole thing. And, I mean, they were amazing. I mean, they were, you know, I think a few of them were a little surprised. I think some of them maybe saw it coming a little bit. I mean, they were great and got to hug them all and thank them. They're a great bunch of kids. And this is really one of my most enjoyable years, maybe the most. And so it was kind of a nice way to end it.
After you told them the reason why you decided to walk away, well, I should say step down, Matt, what message did you leave them with as they continue their careers at Holt and some will continue their years away from the school in general and move on to college life and life in general? What message did you want to send away with them after talking to them?
Well, I mean, one is just that, you know, we really created a family this year. I mean, it was, you know, just an incredible experience, and that, you know, I wanted those relationships to continue, and you know, I want to be able to help them with, you know, anything I could, and you know, come back and watch the program. And you know, I'm sure I'll be at some games next year, you know, watching those guys. And but you know, most of it was just, you know, thanking them and trying to just let them know that you know, it was a really hard decision to step away, because you're just so worried that the kids are going to feel like you abandoned them. And it's like, you know, it's a really, really talented group coming back next year. And so I just wanted to make sure they understood how hard of a decision it was, and, you know, trying to be a better dad and a better husband and a better teacher. Something had to go. And so, you know, that was really it. So, you know, kind of just all the thanking them more than anything, and just, you know, just that I appreciated all that they did this year and what a great run it was.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that you make, Matt, because, you know, when you hear about, especially when I tell people my job, you know, covering sports for a living, right? And then you, the head coach of a basketball program, and of course you do have your day job as well. But when you tell them about a job like that and you're around kids, it's so gratifying. They don't realize the amount of hours and the kind of sacrifice that you have to put in if you want to be not just good, but excellent at it. That sacrifice causes you not to have enough time with your family. You're going to miss certain birthdays or special events with family and friends. That sacrifice weighs on you. What was that like for you during your time as head coach when you were hired back in 2006?
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, like Ron Marlin and I had some talks about that too, because I think, you know, he and I kind of got out for similar reasons. It's like, I've got a fourth grade son, Cameron, who's a good little ball player, and I, you know, all I think about during the week is getting a chance to watch him, you know, on his weekend games and his tournaments, and sometimes I'd have to miss things, and you know, that was really hard, and then you know, like you said, to compete in our conference, which is always one of the best in the state, you know, you got to practice on Saturdays, you've got to watch, you know, hours of film, you know, you've got to put in all the practice planning, so every second of your practice is planned and maximized, and then I'm an English teacher on top of that, so I get these stacks of essays, and it's just, you know, like literally there is no time for anything else, and so, you know, when my kid's saying to me, Daddy, like, I'm, you know, I need more help in school, but you're not around, you know, that's tough.
What do you think you'll miss the most, Matt? You mentioned being in the stands and watching the team in the years to come. That, I'm sure that's going to be a bit odd, especially the first time you sit in the stands and watch the whole high school boys basketball team play. That's going to be a bit odd for you. What do you think you'll miss the most about the job?
Yeah, I'll miss the competition. I won't miss the stress, you know, but I'll miss the competition. I'll miss, you know, just the euphoria of a big win. That, you know, takes you through the weekend usually feeling good. I'll miss really the camaraderie with the other coaches. I've had so many coaches reach out to me, you know, Chris Smith and Jeff Wunsch and Ron and Caleb Miller, all these guys that are just so great and, you know, want to wish you well. And so there really is kind of a brotherhood of coaches around here, and I'm going to miss that. But mainly just the relationships with the kids and the day-to-day, you know, practice stuff. And, I mean, I'm going to stay involved in basketball. I'm sure I'll, you know, probably coach my son's team. I'll probably get more active in some of the youth league stuff. But yeah, that's the stuff that's kind of hard to walk away from. Just the, you know, playing, you know, the competitive nature of it. You know, I played college ball, and this kind of sort of continued that, you know, give me that outlet to be competitive. So that'll be hard to let go of.
Matt Essel, head coach of the Holt High School boys basketball program. He's decided to step down after being a part of the program for 22 seasons. Matt, will you be a part of the hiring process for the coach that comes after you?
You know, I don't know if I'll sit in on the interview per se. Mm-hmm. My AD, Renee Sadler, she's one of the best. She's been great at, you know, seeking out my input, but yeah, I'm also trying not to overstep either, but she's asked for some input, and she's going to make a great decision. So, you know, I don't know if I'll sit on the interview panel, but I'm really confident we're going to get a great coach for this position.
Do any names come to mind right now, Matt, that you may be vying for?
You know, that's hard to say. I will say I've got an assistant, Luke Schrobben, who was incredible this year. I mean, he's a young guy who played for me back when I coached eighth grade back in the day, and then again when I coached JV, and he's about as ready to take a varsity position as I've ever seen for a young coach. So, you know, I'd be ecstatic if he got it.
You went to four regional championship games, Matt, but could not get over that hump. I'm sure that's something that's been on your mind a lot lately, right?
Yeah, it has. There, you know, that was – you know, Coach Larner, when he kind of passed it on to me, you know, he had won the state title 2 years before, and he was like, you know, you'll get your state title, you know, someday, you know, you're gonna feel the same feeling I have, and really for me, I just really wanted to get to the Breslin, at least get a taste of it and see what we could do, and we've had years where I really think if we'd have got through that regional final game, we would have definitely won the next one. My first year we lost to Pioneer by 3 or 4, and they won by like 35 in the quarterfinal. So it was kind of like, that was, you know, that one, I remember watching film of Pioneer right after we beat a really good Okemos team and just thinking to myself, I need another night to prepare for these guys, but we got to play them on Wednesday. And mm-hmm. I'm staying up all night trying to crack the code of how to break their half court trap. And I just felt like maybe if I had a little more experience, you know, I would have been able to help us get through that. So yeah, there's a couple tough ones. Then there's a couple times Kalamazoo Central was just way too strong, and it wasn't going to matter what any of us did.
Yeah, Yeah, they were pretty stout, to say the least, every single year, Matt. And you call this year's team your most coachable. What made them that?
These guys, like, in terms of, 12 kids, and, one thing would be, we do study table for kids who have a C- or lower in any class, and I only had one kid all year that had to come to study table, and he was actually a really good kid, hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
I only had one class that, I don't even know if I had an E, I think I had one D- was the lowest grade, and only one of those out of all the classes that those 12 kids took. So number one, I didn't have to worry at all about academics. I didn't have to worry at all about teachers, emailing, saying somebody's clowning in class. And then, the thing I always would tell our guys I loved about them is that I never had to coach effort with these guys. I feel like I'm really good with the X's and O's and putting in a plan and drilling them. But, I don't want to also spend all my energy trying to motivate you to play hard too. And they're tough kids. I mean, these are really tough, hard-nosed kids that want to work hard. And so that was probably, the best thing about it. And I think in terms of being coachable, we went to almost like a platoon system this year where we played Jaren the whole game, but then we'd rotate in four at a time and we'd come after you and pressure you. And I know when I was in high school, if my coach ever took me out, I was irritated. Well, these guys are subbing out every 4 or 5 minutes and nobody's complaining. So, I mean, I just think that's something really unique and special about these guys. But we were so deep that, that was kind of the best way to attack that problem. So.
And speaking of Jaren, Matt, I know he's headed to Columbia next season. What do you foresee his basketball future to be once he steps on that campus?
They love him. I mean, they absolutely love him. And they're telling me he's the highest rated recruit that they've ever gotten there. I think Jaren's like in the ESPN top 250 or something. So they're ecstatic to get him, and they're telling him you need to be ready to play right away. So I think he's going to have an opportunity to either start or step right into the rotation. And he's just like every single year he grows and adds a new layer to his game. And he's such a hardworking, conscientious kid that he's just going to keep making those jumps. And his body, he really filled out this year. I had an old assistant coach who was with me a couple of years ago, and he watched him on film this year, and he couldn't believe how big Jaren was. And I think Jaren can actually get a lot stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to, and now he's added to his range and he can shoot the ball. And he's, he's just going to keep getting better and better. So I think he's, I think he's going to have the potential to be an all-league kid in the Ivy League. And, they're going to have him working on Wall Street in the summers for an internship. And
wow, that's good experience.
I'm going to be borrowing money from him someday, I think.
I'm sure. All right, Matt, before we get you out of here, one final question here. What kind of coach do you want to be remembered as at Hull High School, and why?
I hope I'm remembered as a guy who's a coach and an educator, and treated kids well. I wasn't one to do a lot of yelling and screaming at individuals. I'd get after the team and say some choice words to the team as a whole when it was necessary, but I really tried to not single out kids and respect kids. And I guess I hope I'm looked at as a guy who was an educator out there and kind of helped kids grow as people and players.
Matt, you did a remarkable job in your tenure there. And on behalf of us all here at WKAR's Current Sports, we wish you well, and we will for sure stay in touch. How's that sound?
It sounds good, Al. Good talking to you again.
You got it. Matt Essel, now former Holt High School boys basketball coach. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a quick bow on this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports.
Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love.
Welcome Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have about 4 minutes left in the show. We just finished up a great chat with Matt Essel, now former Holt High School boys basketball coach who has decided to leave the program after 22 seasons. If you happen to tune in just now and you missed that chat or anything that we talked about on today's Current Sports, you know that you can listen to the show after it airs in podcast form, usually posted around about 3 o'clock via WKAR.org. Want to pass this news along to you all. This is actually, we got enlightened on this news from one of our PAs, Connor Clark, who's behind the glass right now, seeing news concerning Miles Bridges. Yes, the stout freshie who had a remarkable year last season and who is currently debating whether or not to take his talents to the next level in the National Basketball Association. According to the Vertical's Adrian Wojnarowski, the king of NBA scoops, he says that the Spartan star freshman forward has canceled meetings with agents and is, quote, leaning heavily, end quote, toward returning for his sophomore season. This is shocking to me, Isaac. What are your just initial thoughts about this story?
I'm quite befuddled by it, really. I thought Miles certainly was leaving after his freshman year, going into it and following the spectacular season he had. I've said before plenty of times on record, if I was Miles, I would leave, just because I think if the money's there, you take it, especially if you're a kid with his personality, you're as developed as he is, both physically and mentally. I would have left, but at the same time, first of all, Woj is a credible source. He might be the most credible NBA insider there is. So take it with a grain of salt, because he's not promising anything. But this is pretty reputable news at the same time. The second thing is, this is a deep draft class, the deepest we've seen in some time. That's part of the reason I could see where maybe it is feasible for Miles Bridges to stay another year.
And you know what? I think about this a lot. And Graham Couch wrote an article about this in the Lansing State Journal. And previously, before I even saw that column, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about this. I think that Miles probably had an interesting convo with Gary Harris. Gary Harris had a great freshman campaign, right? He decided to stick around for his sophomore year, and he's been quoted as saying that he may have wished that he would have stayed around a little longer. Now, Gary's having a great breakout season with the Denver Nuggets. He had a great year in the NBA this year. I think he's earned himself a roster spot, but maybe he had a convo with Gary, and Gary probably urged him to come back. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall at this point. We'll, of course, elaborate on that story and more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.